So, okay. Welcome to the TM podcast, episode 49. We are back. Very happy to welcome you to this brand new episode. And my name is Felix, and I'm here today with Bernd and Erik to talk about the error handling. We've already had an error handling episode, and now we have new features, new stuff we want to share.
Thanks to Erik. Yeah.
Yes. So maybe Bernd, Erik, you can introduce yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So maybe I start quickly. I'm the oldest one. So Bernd Dittrich, I'm order management, one of the order management architects and a happy consumer of error handling, and have been with this podcast for a while now. So welcome back also from my side.
Yes, and my name is Erik, also a developer in order management in TM. And yeah, for error handling, I've been working on this topic for release 2022. And yeah, it started like the project I had when I was still a student in TM. And this one I took over into my daily work. So yeah, one of the topics I've been working with, yes.
Very nice. Yeah. So, very happy to have you both here. I'm Felix. I'm also a developer in the order management team, and also very happy to be on the hosting side of the podcast today.
Very nice.
So, maybe...
Let's start with the work now, huh?
Yeah. Bernd, Erik, anyone want to give a short summary for those who haven't listened to episode 47, it is, I think.
Hard to imagine there is anybody left, but okay, that's in case you forgot what you heard 2 years ago or so. So let's recap on what error handling is all about. Erik, do you want to explain a bit on that? So why, what is error handling? When we released the note, the episode last time, I also said, okay, maybe the name error handling in TM is a bit wide, because it's not about all errors, but it's specifically about message errors. Erik, so maybe let's start with what is it in detail.
Yeah, sure. So I have to admit, error handling was introduced before my time. So I actually learned about error handling through podcast 47, which was quite some time.
What did you learn?
Yes. So yeah, the principle is that we have Tor documents in TM, and that's where we are working on with in the order management side. And if you have inbound messaging and you create Tor documents from external systems in the system we are in, and you have faulty data in these messages. And what we don't want is to reject the messages, because we say, okay, you have an error here and we don't process this message. But what we...
That was a cold truth before that. So when there was, you have 100 line items and one of the line items has a wrong material, for example, exactly. We have something in the queue.
Yeah, we reject the whole message. Yeah, and that's not what we want to do. So we actually store these documents, the freight documents, with the errors. So that's okay from our side. We just block them for execution, for planning. So we say you can't proceed with these documents until you solve the errors in the system. So you see, okay, this document has been created with some faulty product ID on the item, for example, and you have to go to the document and have a look what is the error and have to resolve it. And once you have resolved all document errors on this Tor document, you can proceed. The blocks are removed and you can process this document.
Yeah. And in the old 2020 release, or from some of you maybe in the new 2020 release, the way resolving the error is a dedicated UIBP, right? A UI where you see all the errors, and in there you resolve the error. So, and then what is the old way of resolving errors? So how would I resolve it traditionally?
Yeah, so exactly. So you have this tab, like you mentioned, it's document errors, it's called, it's on the UI. and you see the list of errors that are currently on this document existing. And you have the possibility, for example, if it's an item error, you have one option is to, of course, go to the item tab, look where on which item the
product is missing.
Exactly. So the product is actually missing because on the document errors you see, okay, it was the message came in with material X, for example. Mm. But on the item side, you then see it as an empty field. And what you can do is there, of course, enter the correct value. You can use the search help for this. And
the search help for the master data.
For the master data material.
Okay. Exactly. So you will find all the materials.
All the materials in the system. And you can then select. And if you don't know which, you maybe ask your material specialist what was meant. And you have then the option to resolve it there. And if you enter it, the document is resolved automatically. So also in the document errors tab, then the error is gone. And this is also the second option, how you can resolve the error. It's you go to the document errors tab and you see, okay, item 10 was created with a faulty product ID value. And you have also the option, the search help available. So again, the master data search help with all the material master data, and you can select it there. And I think you have another actions on the UI there. Actually, I have to look what is. I think you can do a retry. So if like the master data was not existing when the message came in, then the document was created with the error. And if there is now the state in the system that now the master data exists, you can do a retry there, and the same value is used for the retry, and maybe that then works. This is also a third option, actually, how this error can be resolved is if the message sender notices its mistake and says, oh, I've done something wrong, I send in another version of the message. And if we process this, also the errors may be resolved then with this updated message.
Basically, the cool part is you have already a task list, so you can focus on the errors. You also get a search help, which is already specific to the error. So if it's a party business partner error, then you would get a search help for parties. If it's a carrier error, then it's for carrier. Mm-hmm. And if it's a material, then you get a search help for material. So it's already cool. No?
Yes.
But So it's not cool enough, I think we had feedback from one of our partners we developed that with very intensely, and we got very valuable feedback. So since that search helps are so generic, we wanted to get better, right? So that's what we try to address now with the new development.
Maybe if I quickly if I may jump in, right?
Yeah.
So to set a little bit more context, you already had some examples on possible errors like incorrect material product IDs that don't exist in the system. Maybe you can give a little bit more of a short background on how those errors come up in the first place, right? Because I think, electronic message, why would there be anything wrong, right? So maybe just a short context.
You work in IT, right? Sure. Very good question. We also asked that ourselves. So what could possibly go wrong? That typically the starting point. But what we had to learn is that I think 10% of the electronic messages that has been received by our collaboration partner were faulty. And the source of that is different from what I remember. It's these things like you get an ASN and your supplier is not full electronic mode, but he's entering the data in a portal or so. And entering the data is manual work. Manual work is error prone potentially. Yeah. Then you have that other category that your supplier is a bit faster than you, so that you already receive things and your master data governance process was not that quick. Yeah. Basically, I think this is the main, so typos in a way, because the other side might have a non-SAP system, which is, let's say, more relaxed on the consistency of input, unlike German engineers. Well. that is where it comes from. And really, it also for us, I think it was a surprisingly high number of like 10% of the method. But okay, again, you have hundreds of items, potentially, or dozens of items. You have some fields, and one error is enough, was enough to stop the document traditionally. So, and again, it's frequently it's the same error, so that the customers may also, or your suppliers may also have wrong setup, and then you receive the same error again and again and again. And depending on the system, it's not easy that they correct that error. So you do that same exercise frequently.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's actually where the new development came in as well. So it's often the same error every day. And you look and you remember that this error came up in your thoughts. You still say, this was last week, I guess. But you have to still do it manually again. And you have no, in the system, you don't get the information. Yes, this error came up last week, because actually what we do in Tor until the new development was, the error was solved. And it was a Tor-specific data, we stored it on actually a known node. And when the error was resolved, we just deleted this instance of this error and was gone and never seen again.
Just last wave to the change docs and then it was over. Yeah,
exactly.
And sounds like that is different now. So maybe now first we should define what means now. I think we're now talking about S/4HANA 2022 on private cloud or on-prem, whatever you call it, release, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. OP 2022 release, we introduced the new error handling enhancements. And that's where we tackled some of those issues. So it was actually one of the most important ones is to remember which errors came up, right? That's what we've taken care of. We have introduced the possibility to actually store the resolved errors. Mm-hmm. And where we focused on in the first development step were the master data errors. So we have like different error categories. That's also mentioned in the, and you talked about that in the episode 47, which different error categories exist. And I think in the meantime, there came some additional since this episode. The concept stayed the same. So we have the reference errors, which are basically information on, the referenced predecessor document, order. Sales order, purchasing order in most cases, exactly, it's just wrong reference document. That's a reference error. Mm. And we have the master data errors. That's what we were talking about earlier. So wrong product ID on the item. That's a typical one, or package ID or something in this area, business partner and so on. And the third one we call them advanced errors. They're like none of the two before mentioned play their special rules. But we focus in our first development now on the master data errors, and we keep track of which errors occurred in the past. And actually, if you now go either to the item tab and resolve the error there by correcting the value in the product ID, or you go to the document error and correct it there, or there is an updated message which resolves the error. All of that leads actually to the deletion of the error instance on the Tor document. And what we do now is if you activate it in customizing.
I think we come to that later, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. We store this information that the error occurred. We store the how you proceeded or how the system noticed the procedure in how the error was solved. And we store the actual error instance. So when did this exact instance occur? When was it this exact instance resolved? And with which value is actually a part of the procedure. So we have the information we store there in the error history, we call it. Which error came up? Which procedures used to solve this error in the past, and for each procedure, your exact instances of the errors, concerning also the documents where this error occurred.
Hmm.
So you have information there as well.
And that is stored in a separate area, technically in a new BO, right?
Exactly.
So, and why is that? So why is it not stored in the Tor itself?
We wanted to decouple it a bit from the Tor itself because actually it's not related to the document itself. That's what we noticed. Mm-hmm. So we want to have this information separately. That's why we stored it in a separate BO. We have also, for example, the Tor document was archived.
Mm-hmm.
We still want to have the information that the error occurred once. Mm-hmm. We have one in this new BO, a separate archiving approach. Define separate values for your residence period and so on. Of course, maybe we are not alone with this.
And we aren't. I think it's already in use also for integration purposes, if I'm not wrong, exactly. Right?
We have some error handling there as well in place, and we thought, okay, maybe useful in the future and there as well to store the information that an error occurred and that it was resolved. And then these areas want to have a place where they can store the information as well, and that's I think where we want to position ourselves with this new error history BO to get to provide the possibility for other BOs, source BOs in this example, to store their resolved errors.
And then the structure of that BO, now diving a bit technical, but we have chapter marks, so if you're not interested you can just skip it. So you have one entry for the combination of the error, so what was wrong, right? The wrong value. Maybe we can go through the life cycle of an error and then also visit the BO persistence of that while doing so. And maybe that will explain more easy than just the structure. So let's say I sent a faulty document.
Mm-hmm.
You already explained, I think, the error itself. So the start of the error handling, that remains the same, I think, right?
Yes, exactly. So nothing changed there.
Error instance is there, I go there and resolve it.
It's still on Tor BO, right?
It's still on Tor BO. So I'm same UI next day after the upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Now I resolve the error.
Mm-hmm.
You already explained that you also store how the error has been resolved. Mm-hmm. So most likely there also, when resolving the error, something changed as well, right? So while I resolve the error, there is some extra meter information that I can give when I resolve the error, right?
Of course. So we take some what we already have, and we provide the possibility to give some extra information. So, but exactly, you have the right point. So you resolve an error, and what you actually resolve is from the Tor perspective. Now we have the error handling node and the error instance node, and on the error handling it's we have this Tor category, and for example in a faulty product on items on this item instance we have a faulty product data or product ID on items with this wrong value, and we have it on item 10 20 30 40. So there's multiple instances, and you now say, okay, I resolved this. And I resolve it for all of these items automatically. So if you use the document error tab, actually, on the document, you resolve it for all of them.
And so let's say maybe it sounds like a packaging error. So there was a Euro Pulet typo in all of them. And I now go and correct it to Euro Pallet as a material master, or X417 or so, whatever material ID. Okay, so far, I think that is still the same process as before,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And what we do then is we delete this information from the Tor BO. And while doing that, we say, okay, wait a minute, before deleting them, we want to store the information.
Talking performance, it doesn't take a minute, right?
Yeah. Neglectable. So, exactly. We say, wait a minute. Not a minute.
Say it,
but
metaphorically.
Wait a short amount of, very short amount of time. And we say, okay, let's have a look at the error history BO. We want to insert the information that this error occurred. And actually, the error history persists of what I already explained a bit, is the root instance. And this root instance identifies an error. So for example, if we have the packaging error, and we have this Euro pallet, for example, which was there, this is in the error history stored as the root information. So it is error category. We have this in TM. We have the TM item package, it would be. And we have the 40 value Euro pallet.
And the supplier, right? So
and the supplier who sent us this this faulty message in this case, actually. This identifies an error. And if this error would occur again in the future, we would say, oh, there it is, right, in the error history. And the subnode of the root node is the procedure, actually. And there we store actually data on how was this error resolved. And that's nothing we can get from the error handling node or the error instance node on the Tor BO, because there's no information how the error will be solved. It's actually what we take from the action itself. So we identify if we are now in message processing mode. So for example, if it's an updated message, we store that this error was resolved by an updated message. We also store the corrected value. That's the most important part of the procedure. So for example, if you have the Euro pallet and you say, now, okay, it's Euro pallet, actually, the correct package ID, then we say, okay, this is the procedure. And this procedure is then identified by, it's an updated message that was sent again. And this updated message corrected the value to Euro pallet, actually. And that's the most important things of this procedure. And a subnode again of this procedure is then the resolution. And there we store, okay, this was now the instance from consignment order XYZ. I think it was also so, okay, this was actually the error instance was created on the 25th of January 2023. That was when the original error occurred, and it was stored. It was resolved on the 26th of January, and we see. Okay, it took a day to resolve the error, and we have this on the resolution. So it's actually the core instance information. And yes, we say, and sometimes this may not be enough. So we want to, as a user in this document itself, correcting the error, we want to give him the opportunity, give the users the opportunity in the UI to say, okay, this error occurred because, I don't know, this may be just a spelling mistake. So he can there give his opinion on why this error occurred. And this was done, and we called it the error reason, actually. That's another attribute on root level. We can say, okay, this occurred because of spelling mistake. Then we say this is an additional attribute as we want to restore, and that's the root instance. On root instance, so it's there as well. And on procedure level, we say, okay, this may also be the case for saying, okay, I actually resolved the error because while I resolved it by calling the supplier, what value he actually meant, or what. Okay. I asked my the person on our side, on our end in the content company, which product actually ordered, for example, or with which package this normally comes. We correct it this way. And this,
so just to understand rightly, so we have like a configuration where you can have a list of potential strategies, typical SAP profile. So you have
yeah.
setting where you can choose one so that you can aggregate. And this, I called my supplier and he explained me that is in a free text kind of thing. Or?
Yeah, we can have both. So that's actually the procedure category we have to introduce as well. It's also maintainable and you can use it then from search help and insert it there. And if this is still not enough, we also offer the opportunity to enter free text to your resolution you have in this document. And you can say there are additional things like telephone number or, I don't know, some additional information on the specific error occurrence which was used to resolve it.
Oh, telephone numbers, GDPR.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Bad example. Let's say anonymized token.
Bad example. Yeah. Yeah. You could say, okay, I called the
X.
Mr. X from company Y. so something like this. And this is then saved. And if you go, that's actually the fun part now. If you, another colleague, open this consignment order, for example, and you go to the document errors, you now also see a new tab at your. The old one was moved to actually current errors tab. And we have another one then introduced. It's a resolved master data errors tab. Mm. And all this information that we stored now is visible there as well. So you see that for this consignment order, there was once an error is existing. It was created with a faulty package ID. So it was once stood Europallet and it was corrected on the 26th of January with Europallet, and there was a error reason given. Oh, there was probably a spelling mistake and a procedure. Okay, I called someone, and we have a comment there as well. And you have all the information on the still on the consignment order existing that this error occurred, although the order is now error free. So,
okay, and you could also follow up and then add more information.
Exactly.
Remove the telephone number because now remember that you
exactly.
are...
Exactly. You can edit this and you can change maybe the procedure category by saying, or the error reason, there was not the spelling mistake, was actually wrong, I don't know, master data in the supplier system, something like this. You can change it in there as well.
Okay. So that's already quite a difference in added value when reporting or correcting the error, even so I'm not using the data yet. We come to that later, but so there is already something new when resolving the error, let's say the classical way so far.
I mean, still the potential that you resolved it the wrong way, right? So, and someone goes and say, oh, Europallet, it's it was always I don't know, something else, and can go, why is this? And does did the supplier actually send a message this way? And you already see no, was another value that you supplier sent, but it was actually in our system was changed with Europallet. And
okay, so that already adds quite some value with the data. But I think there's more, right?
Yeah,
so now we stored all the information. That sounds so useful. So one day later, still after the upgrade, it's now the Wednesday, after the upgrade, the same supplier with the same telephone number, which I don't have, is sending the same error again.
Yeah.
And again, I have a situation, I remember there was something like that yesterday, but I'm getting old and I don't remember what it was. And now you help, Eric. You are young, you can help me, right?
Yeah, but I help, but I don't help with my young brain. So I also don't remember because I don't pay attention too much. And I say, okay, I had a look over your shoulder yesterday, but actually I did not remember. So, but I then refer to, hey, there's a new cool feature. And it's the, we called it the intelligent error handling. So we actually use this error history because we say the storing of the history is the one thing, but actually use this is another. And the most basic form of this is implemented already and also shipped with 2022 as an option.
But it's the most basic in our eyes, but it's already quite advanced.
It's already quite adds a lot of value. Yeah. But we as developer never satisfied, you know.
I know. Always.
Yes, exactly. So the same error comes up 1 week later. We say, there was something. And the system also says, yes, there was something from the past. Yeah. And actually, we say...
From the past. Huh? Mm-hmm.
System got your back, right?
For example, it says, hey, this same error was... it occurred 10 times already. I already know the correct solution for this because the last 10 times you always corrected it with the value euro palette. Why don't you resolve it with the same value today as well?
So it talks to me now. Did I get it right?
Or how UI, does it tell on the UI. With
on
text,
the UI. Okay.
It's on the UI.
Okay. So what have I do to get that?
Yes, exactly. So the document error tab, we talked about this already. Mm-hmm. You see there an overview of all the document errors existing on this Tor document. Yeah. And if you have the same error there again from last week, what was there before was just okay, product or package ID Euro palette does not exist. And now we see in brackets afterwards there are suggestions available. And the one thing is you have this error details button on the UI as well. And if you click on the error details button, you get a message pop up saying, okay, there was the value euro palette, which was already used resolved most effectively by using the value euro palette. It was already done 10 times. Last time was last week on Wednesday.
I think it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. Assess the system then, and
I can't remember.
To proceed, you can resolve the error using this value. And we have a new action was on the UI as well, and which then offers the option to say, okay, resolve it using this most effective value.
Okay.
And if you click that, automatically this value is used for resolving the error.
Most effective means the one that has most often led to the same or to a resolution.
Exactly. There's something we distinguish there as well. So we said we don't know. There can be multiple values how the same error can be solved. And the euro palette, I mean, it's quite clear what is meant. But in other values, maybe there was some. One time it was resolved using the one value, and the other time another value. And then we say, okay, we have to distinguish here. We on the one side say the most frequent resolution value. Mm-hmm. It was actually the one what was used most often, most frequent to solve this error. For example, like the euro palette now 10 times, it's the most frequent. But for example, yesterday, someone in the system corrected the same error with euro palette 2. Mm. For example, there's a new version of our euro palette package material. And then you see this as the most recent resolution procedure. So there's another one. It may just be one or three times and not so often used as the other one, but you then see both options and you see, okay, there's a one as the most frequent, it's the euro palette, and there's now one with the most recent, it's euro palette 2, and you get both suggestions. And if they are the same, so the most frequent is also the most recent, we say this is the most effective and we always only offer the one option.
Okay.
But if you are not too sure and you say, there are other options as well, we also now introduce a new search help. So we already talked about the one search help available in this UI for the correct value. And this is, in these cases, the search help for the master data. So for all the package materials. We now have the option to switch the search help to our intelligent error resolution search help. And there you see for this error on this document with this supplier, this message sender in this case, you see all the procedures that we have in the system for this error. We see the Euro palette, we see the Euro palette 2, and we see some other values that were in the past also used, but which may not be the most frequent or not the most recent, but we see them there listed as well. And we can then click from this searcher one entry, and this is used for resolving
and the error. Would you also see how frequent they have been used and when they have
been
used?
You see for every procedure entry there, how frequently they were used. So like already 10 times, 3 times, 1 time. You also see this there as well. And you see when was the last time that this procedure was used for resolving this error.
Okay.
So if the was like one option was 2 years ago, last time it was used, you see that there as well. And
okay.
We not want to do that. Yes.
So kind of customers that like that error also like that resolution. Okay. Nice. Okay. So to wrap up. So what's new in resolution is now in case there has been effective. Maybe most likely or very often it will be exactly one correction. Mm-hmm. Then I will immediately see that with the error, and then with a press of a button, I can just apply that just with an action.
Exactly.
And if I'm not so sure, there is a intelligent error handling search help now, which shows me, which looks back into the history of that error and shows me the potential candidates, and from I can pick from there. Mm-hmm. Can I still use the, let's say, none of those suggestions is for me? Is there still a way back to the old classic way of resolving?
Yeah, so, sure. So you can always just, you have all the options that were there before, and you also have the old...
just edit, wow.
You also have the, of course, the normal package search help you have there as well. So if you say, oh, this may not be in there, I still want to look it up in the search help for all the package materials, you can do that as well.
Okay.
So it's still an option. We did not take away any functionality.
Hmm. Okay.
In this case, yeah.
Nice. Okay, is it... That's it for the new resolution process transactionally, right?
Yeah, so I think that wraps it up pretty good.
Okay, yeah. So to recap once more, when you resolve the error, let's say the first time, you have now the option to add some meter information on why did this error occur and how did I resolve it, and then make some notes without telephone numbers personal data,
of course,
and store that and have it in the document so I see what has been wrong, and we also store it in that new business object technically.
Technically we store it only in the new business object. We just show it in the consignment order in the TOR document because we have the reference, because this was originating from this document. Yeah.
And then once we want to make use of that information that we collected, we have new options, we have a new search help, which shows me the history. And if the history is easy to learn from, then we just apply that, the easy solution.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Nice. Okay. I think then if we are transactionally through, most likely, since it's a new feature, there is something that has to be configured to make use of it. You mentioned things like this error categories, etc. Where does it come from? Or what would I have to do to activate this functionality?
Yeah, of course. So it's a new IMG activity, and it's the under transportation management basic settings and then error history. You have three activities there actually, and the one is basic settings for error history or intelligent error resolution. And what you can control there is the first step, do we want to have the error history storage active or not? So that was also the start of our talk now. It's the first step. You have to store the data that would have otherwise been thrown away. You can still say, I don't want it, I don't need that. That's fine. But if you do, you have to set this option to active. And if you have this option set to active, and only if, you can set the second option, which is to activate the intelligent error resolution. And this is actually the suggestions on the on the UI.
Okay.
So it was in our case, it is now the additional information that there are suggestions available. So basically what it does is only if this option is activated, if the new error comes up again, we look up in the error history, do we want to or can we provide suggestions, and only then we do it. That's the text form based. We have only then the actions to use the most frequent, recent, and the most effective, and only then also you see the search help.
This new one, the additional search help.
Exactly, the additional search help.
Okay.
And there's a second one, and then we have another option, and we said, okay, only because I resolved this error one time this way, this maybe not a reason or reason enough to suggest it to the next user. So if, for example, the same error comes up once again next week, and we have only corrected this error once with one value, we actually maybe don't want to provide this suggestion because this may not be enough data as a foundation. And because of this, we have the option now to also in the customizing say what is the minimum number of resolutions to actually display such a suggestion. So how often does this procedure need to be used already to show it on the UI. And this is what you can maintain there as well.
Okay.
Maybe every one of our customers may have a different value there. So this
if you are want to be very sure that this is the right solution and you have a high value and
exactly only show the suggestions after the 50th time or something like this. Maybe you're bold enough and say after one time. I think it's also okay, right?
Okay.
And another one that we can set here is the data archiving residence time and day. So actually this is something we have in Tor document as well in the customizing settings. So after which time do you want to have these entries archived? And we have actually this another point. We have some distinguishing made here. So it's, on the one hand, we have the partial archiving for the resolutions. So if we have the same error 10,000 times already, there's we can say, okay, this can be wrapped up and all these resolution instances can be removed because we actually don't want to have we don't need a reference to all of these documents and when this happened and we're not, we just want to store the information how often did the procedure was this procedure used, and so we archive them and we store the we add actually to the procedure, okay, there are 100 entries which we archived, and but these they still count as this was used, this procedure, and the full archiving of as well. So if you have an error and in this archiving residence time, there was no new procedure, no new resolution created for. So this just the same error did not occur after this time of period, and you did not resolve it as either. Then we can
You change your supplier and the supplier is not sending good nor bad messages.
That's the second time when we store. In this case, we actually archive the whole root entry for all the sub entities in this. In this case, after this time. So these are the basic settings for the error history and the attention error resolution. And as you already mentioned, we have the second customizing activity. It's actually there to maintain the error reason codes. And we have a third one to maintain the procedure category codes. So that was what we mentioned earlier to say, this error occurred as an error reason because there was a spelling mistake, and we want to offer the user on the UI the possibility to maintain this value, then we can maintain it in the customizing and it is available. And the same for procedure category. So if you say, okay, this is a valid approach to call someone or to do this, then we can offer this in the UI and you can select it then from there as well.
Okay, so that you can create your own list of problems and resolutions. So defining the granularity that you...
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Okay, nice. Is that all for configuration? Sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah, simple. That's okay. That's all.
But still very flexible, right?
So yes. You can
tailor to your needs and are ready to go. Resolving errors.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe real quick, that sounds like now you stored all the data. We didn't talk about any analytics yet, and I think there's a good reason there are no analytics yet, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So with 2022, there are now analytics features we delivered. But of course, we made the first step in storing all the data, exactly. And it may be on the roadmap. I don't want to give too much
information. No, we just talk about current
situation. We are aware that this may add additional value now that we have the information which errors occur in this message processing and how they are solved and which values occur the most, that you want to do some analytics on that and gather some information and we want to...
And have a deep talk with your supplier.
Exactly.
How bad the errors and how often you had to call Mr. X.
It's now the 100th error in the same month and like this, yes.
Okay, I see. And I think other thing that sounds like a potential extension would be to, once I'm confident that this is a very good solution, that I maybe auto apply it, but I think that's also not available yet, but maybe something you may have thought about.
Yes, it was in our head, in our heads. Of course, if you are very confident, say, okay, this is now the 100th time, and I'm so sure that if this supplier sends the same error again, that the system should automatically resolve it this way, that you have the option to set this, and that it is resolved automatically. But this is... in our heads.
Outlook.
And maybe written down somewhere. And I don't want to spoil if we are working on that or not. But yeah, of course, it's a vision of us. So to use this and to use this data we have to, use it as
that
well.
That would be a very nice new episode then of the TM podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Once we have that, yeah.
Stay tuned.
What a cliffhanger. Okay.
Yes. So I think with that, we've covered what's new and what's there to configure the new features, how they would help you in resolving your errors. And
we even had a little outlook in potential new
potential in
episodes.
underlined, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much, Erik and Bernd, for covering this topic.
Thank you for having me.
I think this was very, very valuable. Thanks.
Thank you, Felix.
To the listeners for listening in, for staying with us for 45-ish minutes and learning about the new features of error handling, which you can then hopefully apply in your projects and solutions.
With 2020 upwards, yeah. Exactly.
Yes. So 2020 upwards and the new 2022 and onwards. Exactly.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.